Okay, well, I already introduced myself, so I won't do that, but there's a few new people trickling in, so I'll just say I'm Catherine Applegate. I've been moderating this session. We just had a fantastic talk based on a study, six-week course developed in a church setting, and I'm here to talk about a new resource that BioLogos is developing for high school biology instruction. So a lot of resonant themes that you'll hear if you were in the first talk. So just a quick word in case you haven't heard of BioLogos. I just want to share briefly what BioLogos is. We were an organization that was founded by Dr. Francis Collins, who you will hear from tonight in the plenary session. He's a world-famous geneticist and incredibly devoted follower of Christ. And he started BioLogos a number of years ago in response to a book he wrote called The Language of God. And our mission is to invite the church and the world to see the harmony between science and faith as we present an evolutionary understanding of God's creation. So evolutionary creation might be a term that's new for some of you. There's three main ideas. There's a lot more to it. You can go to our website. You can Google BioLogos and find our website and find a lot of helpful information. But just to orient you a little bit, like all Christians, we fully affirm that God is the creator of all of life, including human beings in his image. And like all Christians, we fully affirm that the Bible is God's inspired and authoritative word. But what's different about BioLogos compared to some other science and faith organizations is that we do accept the science of evolution as the best scientific description for the diversity of species. And so a lot of what we do is try to bring together scientists and Bible scholars, philosophers, theologians, and do this interdisciplinary work of trying to make sense of affirming the Bible and affirming evolutionary theory at the same time. So moving on to youth, I promised in my abstract I would talk a little bit about current research, and Mark helpfully pointed out the Barna study on Gen Z, as it's called, which was just published a few months ago. And what Barna found is that about only 28% of all teenagers today believe that science and the Bible are complementary. That's compared to about 39% of all adults, as found in a different study. But that means only about a quarter of our young people think that science and the Bible can go together. And what's interesting is that if you look at just the church-going teens, Barna found that about half of them feel that the church seems to reject much of what science tells us about the world. And finally, an older study that Barna did showed that millennials, they did a study of why young people are leaving the church, and they found that about 1 in 4 are leaving because Christianity is perceived to be anti-science. So that's a real shame that young people are leaving the church. And the reasons for all of this are really complicated, but we have such a great opportunity to do better through faith integration in biology classrooms. So specifically looking at Christian education, there's some interesting new trends. You may have heard of the Next Generation Science Standards that have been adopted in many states for public education. Many Christian schools are adopting and aligning their curricula to these standards also. And these really focus on scientific practices, core ideas, and cross-cutting concepts. So biology, all of the science instruction is moving away from just simply memorizing things, getting it right on the test. It's much more about understanding how science works and practicing doing science in the classroom. So that's a really interesting way that's transforming a lot of how science is being taught right now. In 2006, there was a court case which involved the Association for Christian Schools International, the big professional organization that many Christian schools around the world, I think about 23,000 Christian schools belong to ACSI, and they sued the University of California for rejecting the coursework of a student. Five courses from a Christian school were deemed to be inadequate college preparation. because they were using textbooks from Bob Jones University and Abeka, which are very commonly used in Christian schools and homeschools. The UC system said, these aren't adequate college instruction. We're not going to accept this coursework. So ACSI, on behalf of some of the parents and students, sued, and University of California won. The courts upheld that UC had a right to say those were not adequate for college prep. And so not only because of this, but partly in response to this, many Christian schools are moving towards using secular published textbooks. And I think there's currently, at least as of about 2007 when one study was done, there's about 40% of Christian schools are already using a secular published textbook. Now, some people really worry that this is going to create a slippery slope, that if we stop using Christian public, overtly Christian materials, and we're using secular books, we're somehow going to lose our Christian identity. And many people are sending their kids to Christian schools specifically for that Christian formation. So there was a study in 2016 by Josh Reichard, who is a superintendent of a cluster of Christian schools in Ohio. And he did a longitudinal study in his own school of what happens when you have, when you use secular books. They adopted secular books and then did some teacher training for faith integration. And they actually showed that with this change in the curriculum, they had an increased religiosity among their students. So their students were kind of taking in science, but in the context of their faith, much better than even before when they were using explicitly Christian materials. So this is all really exciting, but there are currently no distinctly materials coming from a perspective that affirms consensus science, like around evolution. Virtually all of the Christian published curricular materials are coming from heavily young earth or intelligent design perspective. And so we wanted to address that. We've been hearing the needs for many years. Teachers write to us, homeschool parents write to us. This one teacher said, if my students leave my classroom without a working knowledge of the current understanding of biology and evolution because they don't feel equipped to address those issues, I have failed. Therefore, I'm extremely interested in materials and resources that might help with this integration. And a homeschool mother wrote on our forum, which is heavily trafficked by people trying to do homeschool from an evolutionary creation perspective. And she said, there's real need within the homeschooling community for these kind of resources. I would love people to come together and create a science curriculum with this approach. It's a big undertaking. And she's right about that. But we heard many requests, and we are now working on this. I am leading a team of incredibly talented people. Here's a picture of them. They come from all different backgrounds and expertise. A couple of them are familiar to you as ASA members. I have two homeschool parents, a very accomplished science teacher who's done a lot of curriculum development, and two curriculum science education experts who do a lot of evolution instruction. So we have been working together over the past year, and we have a number of other people that are involved too in both reviewing and developing materials. But just to give you a sense of what this resource is for, or who it's for and what it is, we're calling it BioLogos Integrate because it's this faith integration resource for high school biology. We are designing it with homeschool parents and co-ops in mind, and also Christian private schools. We want to make it work for both contexts. We also envision it could be useful for parents or teachers of public school students who kind of want to supplement what their kids are learning in science class with a Christian perspective. And it's online, it's very modular. You'll see that in a minute. We're trying to span the entire biology curriculum. And we are focusing on Christian virtues and covering a lot of issues that go beyond just evolution. So I'll just point out that, you know, while the center of mass of BioLogos resources tends to be around origins, we're tackling things like creation care and bioethics. There's a unit on climate change. There's a unit on ways of knowing and how we see God in nature and cell biology. So it's going to be a pretty broad array of topics. topics, and we're aligning these with the science standards where possible. So we're trying to let teachers know where certain activities are hitting those standards. So this is what the website looks like. We have a staging site that's built. You can see the URL that you can bookmark. It's not publicly available yet, but biologos.org/integrate is where you will find it. And we have been able to do this because we have two generous grants so far from the John Templeton Foundation and the Blankemeyer Foundation. And so we are 1 year into a 3-year project to develop this. And we have nearly completed about five of the 15 or so units that will comprise this resource. So we've done Ways of Knowing. It's kind of an introduction to how we know what we know from science and how we know what we know from theology. Creation Care, the Bible and Origins, Christians Accepting Evolution, and Fossils and the Age of the Earth. And so we have another 10 or so planned that we're working on. But each of the units is a series of modules. So a module is basically a self-contained unit of activities that a teacher could walk through. And so we've put them into a series that makes pedagogical sense. And these are the types of modules that we're including. MEET is one that is basically interviews with scientists. We're trying to hold up role models for kids to get exposed to scientists who are Christian believers or other scholars. We have some short meditations on scripture with a focus on virtues that we find in science. And I'll just note here that we do anticipate that many Christian school biology teachers will team teach this with their Bible teacher. It's kind of appropriate in some cases because there's a lot of scripture content that might be more appropriate in a Bible class. But many homeschool families are interested in walking all the way through this interdisciplinary material. Explore activities are ones that are really focused on theology or the Bible or ethics or philosophy. Experience modules are a hands-on science activity. So I should have said from the front that we're not attempting to develop an entire biology curriculum. That's been done, and we are aligning with a couple of different textbooks that are used in public schools and Christian schools all across the country. This is one, Miller and Levine's Biology. So it's kind of keyed off of the table of contents and goes along with the material you would find here. But the science activities that we are putting in are really high quality, and especially for the homeschool parent who sees this vast sea of possibilities on the internet and doesn't necessarily know what's a good activity to try, here's some really great direction for them. And then the final type of module is a capstone, which is kind of a reflective activity that helps the student kind of articulate everything they've learned in that unit. So because we're here in a session called Evolution, we're focusing here on evolution instruction in this session, I wanted to share with you just a little bit about how we're handling that topic. Like all Christians, we affirm that God is the creator. I already talked about these things. But I wanted to also share with you and point you to a blog post from earlier this year, 5 Essential Practices for Culturally Competent Biology Instructors. This is a summary of a review article in an education journal that was published by some friends in a biology education lab at Arizona State University. And they have found that the most effective ways to be sensitive to students of faith background are the following. Acknowledge the conflict that students feel and assure them that there is a possible compatibility. And this study is primarily focused on the college level, but we think many of the lessons learned here can apply and are many of the kind of approaches that we are incorporating. Encourage students to explore their personal views. So there's many ways that we are trying to have students kind of reflect on what they think. That's really important to do that reflection. Teach about different ways of knowing and the limits of scientific knowledge. We definitely want to help students understand. We're not trying to explain away everything on the basis of science. There's a place for the knowledge that you find in your faith and in your personal life. show the perspective of different viewpoints on evolution among people of faith. Sometimes many Christians have simply never heard of that there could be a Christian who accepts evolution. I was talking to somebody last night, and her conversion story happened in college when she was first met somebody that, you know, she recognized as a chemistry professor who was up leading worship in a church that she visited, and just thought, a scientist who's a Christian? You know, this is a really novel, not novel to ASA members, but it's novel to a lot of Christians out there. And simply, number five, provide role models of religious leaders and biologists who accept evolution. Okay, so I don't have a lot of time to go into depth, so I just want to highlight one of these units called Christians Accepting Evolution. So our objectives for this unit are the following: to be exposed to the stories of real Christians who have accepted evolution, to acknowledge that compelling scientific evidence for evolution exists, to practice collecting and analyzing data and drawing evidence-based conclusions, to explain the two books idea of scripture and natural revelation, and acknowledge that acceptance of evolution can be a faithful Christian position. So this is one unit out of four that are focused on evolution within the 15. So this is a pretty narrow set of objectives here. And we think that this will take, you know, for this particular unit, if a teacher used the entire thing, somewhere between 7 and 10 hours of time in the classroom. So we don't think every teacher will use every bit of it. It's designed to be modular so they can pick and choose what works for them in their context. So I introduced the different types of modules, so I'll just throw you how this works itself out in this particular unit with the first three types. You may recognize April Maskowitz, who is, an ASA member, and she's a professor at Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego. And a couple of years ago, she gave this TEDx talk called The E-Word, where E stands for evolution. And if you haven't seen this, I would Google it. It's a fantastic 17 minutes. She shares her personal story. She talks about some of the compelling evidence for evolution. And it's a really winsome presentation that we want to use to showcase for students what one scientist's journey looks like. And so we've paired this with some questions for a reflection that a teacher might use with their students. For example, April mentioned that she heard from her college professor and from her pastors that she had to choose either evolution or her Christian faith. Have you ever heard this? What are your thoughts about it? And what do you think about people who claim to be Christian and accept evolutionary biology? Is this okay? I mean, we really want to hear students say, no, it's not okay. Like, it's against everything I've ever been taught. You know, it's important to have that kind of reflection time. And then this set of questions ends up coming back in the final integrate capstone module, where after they've gone through a whole bunch of other activities, then they answer these same questions again. The scripture one, the scripture module called Grow, is focused on the virtue of peace. And so we point out that science and faith are a source of division in many churches, and yet we are called to be peacemakers. And so this is a little excerpt of a longer, maybe about a 15-minute reflection on scripture related to peacemaking. And then the question for them to think about or journal about or discuss as a class is, how can you apply this verse about peacemaking when you're having conversations with people that you disagree with? So this is really central to the ethos of BioLogos, that we learn how to have gracious dialogue with people that think differently. And so we're trying to get students to be able to practice this. And then finally, the Explore module I wanted to tell you about. So this is one where we're trying to use videos or book excerpts. And here, this is a video with Diane Sweeney, the science teacher, talking about God as an artist and describing describing what evolution is through that metaphor as God as artist. It's just a short video produced for young adults, and then we paired some discussion questions with that. You know, how do you feel? She talks about different emotions that students might feel when they hear about evolution, And so we asked the students to reflect on whether they feel the same way, and what does it mean to think about God as an artist? That might be new for some of them compared to some of the other metaphors from design and engineering that they've been exposed to. And then that's paired with a couple of excerpts from How I Changed My Mind About Evolution, which is a collection of essays from people reflecting on their experience. And then the final activity is imagine that you're driving home with your friend after church, and the pastor has just preached a sermon where he says Christians have to believe in a six-day creation. You know, how would you write out how you would respond to your friend and their parents in the car ride home? So just trying to practice having these conversations before they're a reality, or even try to stimulate them in the classroom. So that's kind of the aim of that module. And finally, I just want to point out that schools are expressing interest in this. We have, we're in the early stages of promoting it. We don't even have the website live yet, but people are finding out. And I mentioned Josh earlier in his research. He's interested in this, and it's been integral in some key conversations. But he says the time has come for Christian schools to teach biology from a scientifically credible and distinctly Christian perspective. We must encourage students to run towards science, not away from it. And he talks about how this resource is going to help prepare students for college and their careers beyond. And so we are piloting this. If you know a teacher, if you are a teacher, if you're a homeschool parent, or you know one who might be interested in giving this a try this next school year, please come talk to me or send me an email. I would love to get a few more people enrolled, although we have already a few. And I showed this picture earlier. This is, you know, like a prototypical young person today. We really want to move from the sense of fear and isolation that so often happens in biology class to this, where kids are talking, there's real fellowship happening, even if people don't all agree. And I think this is also a nice picture of thinking about how science and faith are friendly with one another. So we really want to create that posture of dialogue and curiosity. And I think that's it. Thanks very much for your attention. I think we're kind of short on time, naturally. So I'll just take a couple of questions, and we'll move on to our next speaker.
This is maybe a version of the question you asked the previous speaker, but it seems like one of the obstacles is young people inheriting a view of the Bible as this magically perfect house of cards. Mm-hmm. To what extent in these modules do you, if any, do you try to nudge people away from that and toward a healthier view of Scripture?
We are working that into a couple of different units. So the first of the evolution units, this is the second one. The first one is called The Bible and Origins. And so that really explores the, you know, different perspectives and more of the ancient Near Eastern cosmology and that sort of thing. So it's introducing scripture interpretation. It goes much more into the Bible. I would say that one's very Bible-focused. But even before that, the very first main unit that we're developing is called Ways of Knowing. And there we're trying to do some of what I was asking about, where we talk about how theological understanding has changed over time. What do we mean by faith? You know, what does theology even mean? I mean, many kids probably don't have a great answer to that. Like, what does a Bible scholar do? What does a philosopher do? We're trying to get them thinking about the fact that we have solid faith in the Bible as God's word, but Christians have had different ways of understanding it over time. So we do want that to be a big thrust of it, but time will tell. We haven't done the hard work of testing it out in the classroom yet. Take one more.
Do you ever have cases of real cognitive dissonance where people I've trusted have taught me one thing, now I'm seeing something else? Throw the whole thing away. I do know some people that's their reaction. Mm-hmm. Do you address that at all?
Well, I think Biologos runs into that all the time. Usually the response is to either reject science or leave the church. And we hear from a lot of people who come back because they have seen that there is a way of working this out. But I think, as Mark was talking about earlier, it's a journey. For every person has to take their time. And so You know, I think the key is to hold their hand through it, and I mean that in the best sense. I mean, come alongside and really engage with their questions and recognize that tension is okay sometimes. It's okay to hold different views in tension. So I think the key is trying to help the teachers facilitate that kind of environment where questions are good, and that process is managed in a way that it isn't totally destabilizing and paralyzing for their faith. Good question. I think I'm going to transition to our next speaker. Thanks very much.
Students actually set up the survey, put it online, analyze the data, and I thought I'm
saying, how do we get down here?
So it gave a small group of the students the opportunity to kind of do something sciencey as an example. They really loved it. Their parents were thanking me. They're like, they never learned any of that in school.
So Tony tells me we actually have a little more time.
We have a few minutes.
I think my clock and that clock are slightly off, but we're doing okay.
We start at 11:15, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. I guess I can ask a question since I have the mic here, but to both Mark and Catherine. The word evolution has a lot of baggage, and especially people raised in the young earth setting. And so how do you deal with that to unpack that evolution means a lot of different things and you don't have to accept all of them? So I don't know if either of you want to speak to that.
Mark, you have thoughts?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, the question is, the word evolution has a lot of baggage with it, not just scientific, but also theological, philosophical. So do you spend time unpacking that with his students?
I did not so much, although I definitely go into it with the mindset that this is a charged word. So a little humor, you know, a little bit of letting them know that I was afraid of that word at one time, but I did not spend much time on it.
Okay.
I think the more you drill in and dig in and analyze, maybe the more intimidating. And this generation actually likes humor. And I think being able to approach it more whimsically was perhaps more effective. But I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had a small group, it's easier than talking to a class of 35 students who you hardly know. That's probably different too.
Mm-hmm. I will say BioLogos, the name was proposed as kind of a replacement term for evolution because when Francis Collins wrote the book, The Language of God, he recognized just how much baggage that word had. So he was trying to propose this new term. It's never taken off as, you know, kind of the word people use for meaning that. So we kind of use the evolutionary creation word for that perspective. But I think you're right. I mean, I think defining terms is really important and distinguishing between kind of evolution as a theory or a mechanism in biology that's, you know, akin to, say, gravity or, you know, how we study meteorology or, you know, chemistry. This is just a field of science like other fields of science, and it, of course, touches on our beliefs in various ways, but that's very different from evolutionism, like this idea that evolution kind of explains away everything.
And God is not involved in it.
God's not involved, right?
Right.
I would like to add, though, there's a lot of equivocation on the use of the word evolution. And often those in the scientific community will use microevolution and then make the leap to macroevolution. Mm-hmm. And that's part of a lot of the issue. And so, of course, young people aren't going to know the difference between both.
Catherine, can I ask a question since you still got a couple of minutes by my watch?
Yeah.
This seems like really great material, and I'm so excited about it. But you're focusing it, as you said, for Christian schools or homeschools. But it seems like a lot of this would be helpful for students who are in public schools. I mean, I know that you're still in the pilot stage, so I may be thinking way down the line, but could some of this also be adapted or to help parents of students who are in public schools or churches to help students who are in public schools as kind of an auxiliary resource for them as well?
Yeah, I think we didn't set out with public school completely in view.
simply because of the restrictions around.
Yeah, I don't mean using it in the public school, but I mean.
But that's what we do envision that many Christian parents are good. The vast, vast majority of Christian biology students are going to be in public schools.
Yeah.
And so for their parents to have a resource, or for teachers to be able to recommend it to their class, look, if you are interested in this and you're, a person of faith, check this out. And we hadn't really thought about use in church context, but.
I think even Sunday schools or something
could
benefit
be neat.
From this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Ken, you've been very patient. We have one more. Well,
mine's not a question, just a comment. Most of you know that I'm on the earth science side, so everything I saw there, I'll be coming to you and say, can you also do an earth science unit in parallel in some manner?
Yes.
Because we really have two big elephants in the room. The evolution is the huge, gigantic one, and the smaller one is atheism. So
we have one of the last of the evolution ones is called Fossils in the Age of the Earth.
I heard that. So
we do want to tie it. We have put in a lot of stuff, but I'll be coming to you to help review some of that.
I will try to raise some funds for the earth science side.
Great, that'd be fantastic.
I knew you'd like that. 2014.